There is power in the name of Jesus, and the church said, amen. Amen. Welcome, everybody, to Generosity Sunday. How's everybody doing? Good. It's good to see everybody today. It's a beautiful Sunday morning, and we get to worship God together. Generosity Sunday. This is the Sunday we get to celebrate the gift of giving. You know that God gives us the gift of giving. Jesus says it's more blessed to than to, woo, all right. It is more blessed to what? Than to? Okay, so we're going to give all of our friends a chance right now to hear the word of God, all right? We're going to be generous. We're going to take out our phones, and we are going to share this live stream with our friends. We want our friends to get an opportunity to hear the word of God. Here is the information for our social media pages. So make sure you like our page. Make sure you follow us on Instagram as well. And you can check out our videos. We have videos of our events and different things that we've done on our YouTube page. So let's give our friends the gift of the Word of God. And let's say hello to Facebook. Say hello, Facebook. All right. Well, today, we are going to close out our series called Brick by Brick. Brick by Brick. Now, I would be remiss if I didn't give my brother, Javier, a shout-out. I actually stole that hashtag from him. Well, he let me have it. He was giving towards me. Coach Javier, he leads a wrestling program, a collegiate wrestling program at Southeastern University in Florida. And what he did was he started a program from the ground up. They did not have a wrestling team at all, and he started from the ground up. And so he came up with this concept, Brick by Brick. And over the last few years, his program has done better and better. And he watches. So say thank you, Javi. Brick by Brick. We'll close it out today. And then we're going to start a new series. We're actually going to do a series called Blockbuster Summer. And last year during the summer, we did our top 10 movies as a church, our favorite movies, and we preached on them. We believe that art and movies really say a lot. They can communicate a lot about God, about us, about culture and society. And so this year, I'm just going to let the preachers pick their favorite movie. But we will officially start on the 24th, but you know how movies have trailers, they have previews. So we're going to have a preview on Father's Day, That'll be our preview. You know, we got a popcorn machine. We're going to pop some popcorn and have a good time. And we will have flyers for that series. Again, those have been ordered so we can invite as many people as possible to church. Before we move on, let's go ahead and pray to God. Lord, we love you and we thank you for who you are. Thank you for being so generous with us, God. Thank you for giving us your son, giving us the joy of salvation and the forgiveness of sin, Lord. And you give us yourself in us through the Holy Spirit. I mean, that's just amazing, God. We are so grateful. And we pray that our gratitude will be shown in our lives, in our everyday lives, by the way we give to you and the way we give to others, God. I pray that you will bless today, Lord, that as we collect our special contribution today, Lord, that you will multiply all that we give to you and use it, God, to save as many souls as possible. Be with me as I preach your word, God, and in Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, Jazz did a great job with communion. Let's thank him and let's give him a round of applause. As I said today, we are celebrating the gift of giving, but not just giving, we're celebrating the gift of giving generously. But our goal isn't even to give generous, right? Generously, it's to be generous, to live a lifestyle of generosity, to be like God in that way. Now, if this is a strength for you, if you're just a generous person, some people just have the gift. Dr. Jackson shared about his wife, Tasha, a few weeks ago. Some people just have the gift of generosity. And Romans 12, I believe it talks about the different gifts of giving, then let them give generously. And so if that's your gift, or if it's something you've worked at or something you are growing in right now, you're going to love this scripture. Proverbs 11:25. A generous man will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. I love that. You know, if you know anything about Proverbs, these are the, like, I call it the facts of life. I mean, it's just, what, 90% of the time, this is how things will play out. It's just a fact of life. And I got to experience this fact of life a few days ago. We drove to downtown. My stepdad, Coach Bird, was in town with his team, and my brother Gabe, for a wrestling tournament. And so we go downtown, and we park our car, and we get out of the car, and this man comes up to us, and he says, "Hey, listen, just want to give you a heads up. Make sure you put your driver's license, your license plate number in the machine, because now they've changed some things around, so I want to make sure you're set." Oh, thank you so much, sir. I appreciate that. "Oh, and by the way, do you have a few, I need $1.60 to get a meal. You know, by the way, do you have something to spare?" And, you know, if you have been in downtown Atlanta and you see somebody approaching you, most of the time you have your answer before they get to you. "I don't got no cash, bro. I'm sorry." And I have a spot for women and children. I have a spot in my heart. But for grown men, I'm sorry, I struggle. Grown, healthy men, I struggle. But this brother right here, he decided that he was going to give to me and be generous, right? And so that played with my psyche a little bit. I said, well, he already gave me something. So you know what? I have some change in the car in my pocket. You know what? Here's some change. What you need, $1.60? Hey, honey, you have a dollar on you? A dollar? Okay, I think we gave him like $1.50 that we had on us. You know what? I gave back to him. You know, this generous man, he prospered because he was willing to give first. He got me. He gave first, and I felt a need to give back to him for that awesome advice that he gave me. He was being generous. What is the definition of generous? Being generous, showing a readiness to give more of something, as money or time, than is strictly necessary or expected. More, giving more than it is expected. Going above and beyond of what is necessary. If we are able to practice this type of generosity, if we are able to give more than God requires, more than the bare minimum, then I believe that we will see our vision come to reality. Amen. To create churches that mobilize the next generation. Our generosity will directly impact the next generation. Today, we are collecting our special contribution, and that goes towards our vision fund. And many of you may have seen, we gave out a little sheet for you, an infographic to see exactly what we're praying about and what we need. But it's going to creating churches that mobilize the next generation. So you can read the details on that infographic. But our goal is to raise at least $50,000 this year, by the end of the year, that we hope can go towards our new home, which will be a hub for us to be able to do ministry, to be able to help people. And on the infographic, it says that we've already raised 30% of the $50,000. Awesome, right? Well, we had a board meeting on Thursday night, and we went over the financials, all the church financials, all the way through April. And all the way through April, we've actually raised closer to 50% of our goal already. So because we've been generous, because we've gotten a head start on that, our generosity will directly impact the next generation. But what is the opposite of being generous? Stingy. Ooh. What's that? Right, stingy, armory, greedy, you know. But here's the thing. If we look at the definition, what's the opposite of giving more than is necessary? The opposite is taking more than is necessary, right? So if you struggle with this, you may not like this next scripture very much. Psalm 37:21, "The wicked borrow and do not repay, but the righteous give generously. Woo, that's tough. To borrow and not repay. Woo, that's called debt. That's called debt. And while many of us want to be generous, maybe our lack of financial literacy or lack of wisdom or just flat out selfishness or being greedy, that can result in large amounts of debt. Whether we, you know, whether it's people that we're owing money to or whether it's on a credit card, right? But Sally Mae, right? No, she don't. But, you know, what happens, though, is when we're not focused on pleasing God, being generous like God, then we turn our attention on someone or something else. We're busy people. We're going after stuff. We make money, and we're putting it towards something. There's so much that we can invest in. You know, and I believe our values and our priorities are reflected in how we use our resources. Our values and our priorities are reflected in how we use our resources, our time, our money, skills and abilities, gifts and talents. There are so many opportunities, so many options when it comes to how we will invest our resources. And if it's not for God, if it's not for the things that God is passionate about, the things that are important to him, it's usually ourselves and the people and things that are more important to us than him. That's what we invest in, right? We just wrapped up our Financial Peace University, a 9-week series. Okay, if you're in Financial Peace, stand up. Who is in Financial Peace? Go ahead. Give them a round of applause. Give them a round of applause. Give them a round of applause. You know, these brothers and sisters, this is a class to help people really grow in their generosity and have a heart for God when it comes to our finances. And part of that strategy is to begin the process of paying back the money they have borrowed but have not paid back. So they actually cut up their credit cards. They cut them up. In just over 2 months, this group of 30-something people, over 30-some people, paid off over $40,000 in non-mortgage debt. That's called repentance. And repentance leads to freedom, right? And then freedom leads to generosity. You know, the Israelites in the book of Haggai, they underwent a similar transformation. Haggai was a prophet commissioned by God and called to preach to men and women to get their values and their priorities in order. So by now we know the story that the Israelites were in captivity, and so they were forced to assimilate into the Babylonian culture, and then they were given a chance by the Persian king who overtook Babylon to go back home, right? And so they went home and they started building with Zerubbabel, and it was great. They got the altar done, but then as they were building the temple, it took them a while to actually build it, right? They stopped building, and it took over. The temple stood in shambles, basically, without being finished for over a decade, somewhere between 14 and 16 years that it stood there without being finished. And so God called some prophets, and we talked about Zechariah, and then today we're going to talk about Haggai to preach the word of God to the people to help them to get going again and finish what they started. Haggai chapter 1 and verse 1, you can turn with me there, or you can just listen along. Haggai chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, "In the second year of King Darius, on the first day of the sixth month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest. This is what the Lord Almighty says. These people say the time has not yet come to rebuild the Lord's house. Then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Well, is it a time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled or luxury houses while this house, my house, remains a ruin? Now, this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much, but harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put on clothes, but you're not warm. You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. He says it again. Think about your life. Think about your choices. He says, go up into the mountains and bring down timber and build my house so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. You expected much, but see, it turned out to be little. You brought home, what you brought home, I blew away. Why? Declares the Lord Almighty. Because of my house, which remains a ruin, while each of you is busy with your own house. Therefore, because of you, the heavens have withheld their dew and the earth its crops. I call for a drought on the fields and the mountains, on the grain, the new wine, the olive oil, and everything else the ground produces, on people and livestock, and on all the labor of your hands. At first glance, we would think that these folks were being strategic, right? They said, it's not the right time to build the Lord's house. You don't understand. The timing is off on this right now. It's not the right time. You know, we should take more time to plan more or to save more or to meet more. We love to meet, don't we? We meet so we can plan a meeting about a meeting that we should get to work on, right? A task that we need to do. Man, we love to meet. It said, listen, it's not the right time. But it wasn't strategy or even procrastination. It was a lack of spiritual perspective when it came to their priorities. I love God. God clapped back on him right here, didn't he? He said, what y'all say? Well, is it okay then for you to live in your nice houses while my house remains a ruin? He had an answer to their excuses. It's not that you don't have the resources or the time. It's that you're using them for yourself. Selfishness had crept in. God was saying, how can you do this? After all that I've done for you, after I've given you a chance to have a new life, new dreams, new hope, a new community to rebuild what you had lost. And now you're spending all the blessings on yourself? See, the people were using their resources to beautify their own homes, but the harder that they worked to please themselves, the less they actually had because they ignored their spiritual lives. That description of earning wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it, for me, it's so powerful. Like, I can see somebody walking around putting money in their purse and it just falling out the bottom. It's like the more you put in, the more falls out the bottom. Maybe some of us can relate. We're working so hard, but never seem to get ahead. We're missing church so we can be at work, right? We got to get up early and get ready to go to work so we can earn money and we don't have our quiet time, right? And, you know, it's like, I don't need, you know, we deny our families and everything else because we got to make money and we got to get this and we got to get that. And yet, it seems like we're not getting ahead. You ever been there before? It's like, why aren't things working out? I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. That's hard for athletes because athletes used to A plus B equals C. You know, most of us understand hard work, right? We grew up on that. You work hard, you get what you desire. It wasn't working out for these people because their priorities weren't in order. Solomon calls this a chasing after the wind. And some of us fall into that trap, chasing idols. Idols, anything we place before God. Idols, anything that we look to in order to satisfy our needs, the needs and the desires that God wants to fulfill according to his plan in our hearts and our lives. So what are some examples of idols? Anybody have examples of idols? What's that? TV, media, right? We could just veg out and just say, hey, this is what's going to bring me peace, enjoyment. Okay, money. Money can be an idol. If I just have this, this money represents security, right? Comfort can be an idol. Time, self, success, right? All these idols that we can be chasing, that we look to satisfy our needs, our wants, our desires. I found this other video, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I spent so much time on this video, Lord. Just want to serve your people. Just want to paint a picture. Please allow this video to be played. In Jesus' name,
amen.
It's a funny video, this prank, right, that this guy played. And music up. Let's watch what happens here. They're chasing money. I tell you what. That sister got that $20. That one sister got that $20. I don't know if that was her kid, her nephew. But she got that $20, boy. I tell you what, as she walked away. So he had $20 on a fishing line and just kept reeling it back in. $20. And we laugh at this. But I believe sometimes that's how God sees us. Whatever that idol may be, it may be money, but we see it. It looks good. We start chasing after it. We will fall to the ground. We will slip. We will hurt ourselves in order to get that idol. I mean, sometimes we're just riding through life, happy with our friend, woo, having a good time. You see that thing, and you leave your friend behind. Sometimes you chase after it with your friend, and you're like, I'm going to beat my friend to this. I'm gonna hold them back so I can get what I want. Idols, chasing after the wind. You know the problem with these idols? Is that they actually work. That's the hard part. They fulfill for a moment, but only for a moment. And then these idols, they disappoint because only Jesus can fulfill the promise of giving us fulfillment. He promises life to the full, and that's exactly what he has done in my life and many of our lives. Much fuller than I could ever ask or imagine. When I was living an empty life and I was chasing after all these things that I thought were going to make me happy, that I thought I wanted, and ultimately left me empty, and I chose Jesus. Jesus says, I will give you life and life to the full, and that's what he has delivered on his promise. However, idols, they also make that promise, but they cannot and will not ever come through on it. The thief only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. We know that the devil is a liar. And so he will make the promise, and he will even make good on the promise, but only momentarily. Let's keep reading here to see how the people responded. We're going to pick up in verse 12 to see how the people responded to this message from God to let go of their idols, all the things they've been investing in, and to invest in God and his kingdom, the things that are important to God. In verse 12, then Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest, and the whole remnant of the people obeyed the voice of the Lord, their God, and the message of the prophet Haggai, because the Lord their God had sent him. And the people feared the Lord. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, gave this message of the Lord to the people. I am with you, declares the Lord. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of the whole remnant of the people. They came and began to work on the house of the Lord Almighty, their God, on the 24th day of the sixth month. They repented. They responded. They obeyed. And the Lord stirred their spirits. And they got to work. The Lord stirred their spirits. You know, I want to stop right here, and I just want to tell you how much I love the Path Church. I mean, it is amazing. We are an army of warriors for God. I mean, I love it. I am so inspired by each of you on a daily basis. You know, as a pastor, I get to know more of what's going on than the average person, right? I should take care of the flock and be aware of how we're doing. And on a day-to-day basis, I am so inspired the way we seek God's kingdom first, the way we love, the love that we share with each other and with other people, with the community, the needs that we meet, the sacrifices that we have made and continue to make to build His church. It's just so inspiring. I love me some Path Church. I get to witness the stirring of the spirits. I get to witness on so many occasions how God moves in your lives, how He takes you from being in one place and stirs you and moves you to another place, how He moves our hearts and our spirits and allows us to get to work, to make a difference for God and His kingdom. I love me some Path Church. The way we support our single moms. They're just doing their best to keep food on the table, and we go out of our way to love them and serve them and love their kids and take care of their children and support them, right? The way we care for our teenagers, right? And even teenagers that have been left behind by their physical families. We have them in the church, and we love them, and we support them in every way. I get to see the clothes that are given to those in need, the homes that are built right here in this community. I get to hear about the care packages that are made and delivered to children in the hospital. I get to hear about how the brothers jump in and wash cars or fix cars or clean homes or fix homes. I get to hear about all that. This week I've been so inspired by the excitement I've seen in so many of you about giving generously to our Vision Fund. Man, I've just seen hearts change, transform. I know we fasted this past week as a church, and it's just been amazing. I mean, to have that type of response is just so encouraging to me as a pastor. It'd be so hard if it was like grudgingly, right? Oh, we're doing this. Oh, why you want us to do this? Where's this going to? What are we? I mean, and I just have not felt that at all. So thank you. I love me some Path Church. And the beautiful thing is, even as the church is gathering money, we're giving it away. This past week, we were able to use some of our funds from the Next Gen Fund that we have been collecting and collected last year, the Kavi Padu Next Gen Fund. And we get a chance to help send a couple of our children to the Swamp Camp, a Christian camp. Yeah. A place so many of our children have gotten a chance to get to know God, to character development, their relationship with God has been developed, and now they're adults, and now they're doing well in their lives, their spiritual lives, and their education, academics, career. I mean, Keegan's serving at the camp with the arts, and so he is teaching children how to use their artistic ability, their gifts from God to glorify God. I love me some Path Church. Thank you. Thank you for being a visual representation of this passage, for allowing your spirits to be stirred by the Lord God Almighty. You know, back in the book of Haggai, God knew that what Haggai preached to him wasn't going to be enough. He saw an immediate response. Their hearts were stirred. Their spirits were stirred. They got to work, but God said, I'm going to send them a little bit more encouragement so they can continue the work. I know they stopped before, so we're going to make sure that they keep on going this time. So about a month later, God gave Haggai another message for the people. Haggai chapter 2 and verse 1. On the 21st day of the seventh month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Speak to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, to Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people. Ask them, who of you is left who saw this house in its former glory? How does it look to you now? Does it not seem to you like nothing? But now be strong, Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord. And work. For I am with you, declares the Lord Almighty. This is what I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, and my spirit remains among you. So do not fear. This is what the Lord Almighty says. In a little while, I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. I will shake all nations. And what is desired by all nations will come. And I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord Almighty. The silver is mine. The gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty. The glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord God Almighty. And in this place, I will grant peace, declares the Lord Almighty. As they were rebuilding, they were excited, but the mature brothers and sisters who'd been around for a little while, they started to feel a little bit of discouragement because they remembered the former temple, Solomon's temple. And Solomon's temple was amazing. My wife is studying it out now. She was telling me how all this stone was carved out. I mean, it was just incredible. I mean, the details on this temple were just out of this world. I mean, Solomon had everything he had, all the riches he needed to make this temple amazing. But that temple had been destroyed because of the sin of the people. And now they were rebuilding with two tribes, putting their money together, pagan kings that said, hey, you can have what you need, and let's go ahead and build this thing back up. It paled in comparison physically. But I think it was more than just the appearance for them. I think it was what the first temple represented, a time of prosperity for the people of Israel, a time of celebration when they had their king, the wisest man in the world, right? A time of joy and of peace. Before all the chaos, before all the sin, back then when things were good. But now in their older age, they had to start again. They had to rebuild one more time, and that can be tough. That can be hard to have to rebuild, especially when you're older in age and you've done building before and you've done it again and again and you've gone through years of special contribution and you've sacrificed and you've given, right? And yeah, you've seen God bless it and you've seen God do amazing things, right? The stories we can tell of what God has done. And sometimes we look around and it's like, man, this is where we're at. Now, you know, it's interesting because, and it, you know what, it may not even be like, oh, this is where we're at. It's just the fact that we got to get back to work. By this time, surely somebody would have taken the baton. You know, like somebody else would be overseeing Kingdom Kids. Man, I've had those bins for so long. Somebody else by this time would be helping out with this part of the church. Somebody, you know, it's tough. I was listening. God just has a way of speaking to me, just encouraging me. I got a new phone not a while ago, but I never synced my iTunes. And so I finally got a chance to sync my iTunes. And in my iTunes, I had all these sermons from the days of the GACC. That was the Greater Atlanta Church of Christ, our name, before it was the Path. And I put it on shuffle mode. And as I was getting ready the other day, a sermon comes up. It was the third thing that came up. I was going through it trying to find something. The sermon came up. Mike Patterson preaching, His Truth is Marching On. 2010, 8 years ago. I said, let me listen to this thing. Let's see what Mike's talking about. Man, Mike preached the word. He went for about an hour and he preached the word. That thing said 1:00. I said, wow, okay, this brother was going. I said, I got to hear what he said. And it was after a time where we had visited Bermuda, and we had gone on a mission trip to Bermuda. And then Mike and Sean went to the Dominican Republic to support some of our partner churches that are there. And so it was amazing. He preached on the parable of the talents and how when we give to God, He multiplies what we give. In the parable of talents, you know, the king says, here, have this, come back and bring it back to me. And people invested it and gave him double, right? Some people had one talent, I think it was like three talents and then five talents, whatever. Those people gave it to him, the one with the one with the one talent just gave him back the one talent, and the king was upset. So he's saying, you know, God multiplies what we give. And he shared about this time that he had in Bermuda. And he shared about all these victories that were happening as we were there praying, because we have a brother named Alex Butterfield that he picked up a flyer years ago. It must have been now 12, 13, 14 years ago. He picked up a flyer on the ground at Georgia State University, one of our flyers. He looked at it. He came to Bible talk. He studied the Bible. He became a Christian. He, not only that, I mean, he was a leader in the church. He was a Bible talk leader, helped with our campus ministry, helped many, many, many people get to know Jesus. And then when his student visa was up, he went back to Bermuda. And so we're going there to support him and help him because he had been preaching the word. We had, Mike reminded me that first Sunday service we had in Bermuda, we had just gotten there, and Alex by himself had 23 of his friends and family there at service, by himself. We were like, wow, this is amazing. Then we had Bible talk and game night, and all these people would come because he had just been sharing about God and sharing about his church with so many of his friends and family. It was so amazing. He shared with this one young woman named Didi. And Didi studied the Bible while we were there. She was working full time, but when she was off, she would take a nap. We had to force her to take a nap because all she wanted to do was study the Bible while she was off. And so the sister would tell, go take a nap. After you take a nap, we will study, because her heart was, you're only here, I think it was like a week or two that we were there. I want to make the most of this opportunity. The last day we were there, Didi was baptized. Yeah. Mike talked about how the Spirit was moving to plant a church in Bermuda. And then we helped another brother become a Christian. And man, it was amazing the impact that we were able to have in Bermuda. Then he said, well, I came back, got my kids, and I went to the Dominican Republic. And he went there, and he was just so inspired by the disciples there in the church, in the Santo Domingo church. It was just amazing. He said that, you know, this third world country, they had gotten financial help from the States for years. But it was 2010, so in 2003, they stopped getting help. So for 7 years, they stopped getting help. But the brother who leads the church there, Angel Martinez, said, you know what? We're going to trust God. God's going to provide for us. And that's what God did. And so they were able to sacrifice, and they would take up their special collections. And they said, we want a facility. We need a facility. And so God allowed them to buy a piece of land, and they literally built the building together. There was an architect in the church who had been baptized as a college student who said, you know what? I will design the building. I will give my money towards the work of the building. And then his wife was a contractor. And she had become a Christian as well. And so they said, hey, we're going to take this on. We got everything we need. We just need willing hands. And the church came together and they built a building. A beautiful building, amazing building. And they planted church. They have churches all over that island. Disciples just giving, saying, you know what? We're going to trust God. And I'm like, wow. The two things Mike preached about, planting churches and getting a facility back in 2010. And here we are today. What are we talking about in our vision fund? Planting churches and finding a home. Okay, God, you have a way of speaking to me and encouraging me. It was amazing. I remember I was telling Mike about this, and I thought, man, this was the heyday of the GACC. And part of me was nostalgic, but a part of me was just so inspired because I feel like, man, if he's done it before, he can do it again. I've seen him do it. It reminded me of what God can do, what he has done, and what he will do as long as we stay faithful to him. The best is yet to come. That's what God was telling them. He said, it may not look like much right now, but it's going to be even better when I get through with it. Because the problem wasn't nice homes. It wasn't their paneled, luxurious houses. It was that it paled in comparison to God's house and what they were able to receive, they were going to receive through building the temple by working on their relationship with God. God had something greater in store, something better to invest their time, money, and resources into, something better that would not only just please themselves, but it would make an eternal impact. God has something greater. Why? Because Jesus himself would walk through those temple courts. So you talk about the glory that will be in that house will surpass any of the glory that was there before. After he died and rose again, then we know that we become the temple of God and his spirit lives inside of us. So that was just a picture of what would happen in each one of us. That we don't have to have a building where the spirit lives and we have to go through a priest to get to him. Says, God said, you know what? I'm going to make myself available to you. I'm going to live inside of you. The best is yet to come. So not only did God have a vision that was greater than their worldly vision, right? He also had a fund. He had a vision and he had a fund. He said, all the silver and gold is mine. All I need is willing hands. Oh, he goes on to encourage them. He says, be strong. I'm with you. Do not fear. My spirit remains among you. Go for it. You're going to see amazing things happen. Just step out in faith. I believe God is saying the same thing to us today, church. I believe God is saying, I am here. I'm with you. I'm in your midst. Do you not perceive it? I'm doing a great thing. I'm doing a new thing. I'm with you. I'm going to be with you every step of the way. As long as you continue to build my church brick by brick. Church, do you believe that today? Is that your conviction today? Are you excited about that today? That we get to partner with God in what he's doing, in his vision, and we get to use his funds, amen, to worship him.